Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text is Old Testament lesson from Jonah chapter 3. Well, now seems like a good time to book a cruise to Spain. You know, taking a cruise there around Spain, going around seeing the sights. You thinking that to yourself because it's like, well, you know, you feel like you need a break. It seems like everybody's been so demanding of your schedule. It's like your schedule's not your own. You go to work, and you know your boss says, "Here, go do this and do that," and you get, you know, saying that for the umpteenth time. You're finally at that point, like that country song, and it's like, "Take that job," and it, you know, sure, I think I'll book a cruise to Spain. You know, so that's what you decide to do, and well, you book that cruise, and you go down there to the ship. Your luggage gets put on, and you go to your cabin, and it seems like all that stress just melts away. Well, that seems like a good beginning here to our Old Testament lesson, Jonah. All right? Who doesn't like that story? I mean, particularly you got Jonah there, and you know he gets swallowed by a big fish, whale, whatever. But still, he had a task, did he not? He was given a task, and now that's what we're going to chat about here this morning. Well, the book begins with these words. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." Nineveh. Well, that was the capital of the ancient Assyrian Empire. And so you're wondering, it's like, all right, well, where is Nineveh? Well, Nineveh is right across the way from, the city of Mosul in northern Iraq. Now, you're probably familiar with that in Mosul there. It's on the Tigris River. Actually, it's a very nice place to be, actually, okay? The land is very fertile there, right there on the river, and so it was way back in the day, too. So it was a place where a lot of people would gather. And so, well, you're familiar with this place, Mosul. Well, it's actually closer to Turkey than it is to Baghdad. But it was a place way back there in Desert Storm there that the Americans went in and conquered that city. But then back in 2014, ISIS came along, all right, and they took the city. And it wasn't until this past summer that the Iraqis took it back. And so today, if you were to look at Mosul, well, you'd find that it's quite frankly a devastated city. It's just all torn to bits. But when you think about ISIS, though, well, you've heard about all the atrocities that they had committed over the years. Now, if one were to compare ISIS with the Assyrians, well, you'd find that the similarities, well, quite frankly, they're disgusting. The ancient Assyrians, well, they were definitely the bad boys on the block back in the day. Now, there's relief art. Now, if you're not familiar with the relief art, and that's where it's like you have like a stone wall or something like that, and then you chip away the wall and leave the art sticking out, all right? So it's kind of like 3D art. Well, that was very popular back in the Syrians way back in the day. So there was lots of relief art there that they actually found there in the city of Nineveh. And, well, the kings, well, they like to show off their accomplishments by having this relief art there. They'd show off about how they, well, defeated their enemies and those kinds of things. But there's one particular instance there where it shows, well, the captives being led off after a big victory. But these captives there are not led off with big heavy chains one from another. Rather, the chains are very light. Why? Because the Assyrians would put fish hooks in people's mouths and chain one person to the next and lead them off. So if you've got a big old fish hook sticking in your mouth there, you tend to be a little bit more cooperative. Now, some of the other things that they used to do, well, they would have big piles of leftovers of decapitations after a victory. That's what the Assyrians used to do. You also find that the people of ISIS did the same thing. So, you know about those kinds of details. So, going to Mosul today, would you want to go there? Probably not. Would you want to go back to Nineveh back in the day? Most likely not. Who'd want to go there? So if you were told to go there, wouldn't it sound like booking a cruise to Spain be a good thing to do? Jonah thought so. That's what he did. Now, we all know what happened to Jonah. He fled. He got on a boat. He was good to go. He was thinking to himself, I'm not going to have to listen to the Lord anymore. Why? Well, because, again, people, you've heard me say this before, people thought that gods back in the day were a local god. So it's like you had a god of Hicksville, and you had a god of Syosset, you know, and you had a god of Brooklyn and Queens and whatever, right? So if you left that place, you didn't have to worry about that god anymore. And so that's what Jonah here was thinking. It's like, well, he's the god of Israel. I can get on this boat and leave, and I'm not going to have to worry. Well, he found out differently, did he not? Well, the god of Israel is just not the god of Israel. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. So what did that mean? Jonah found out. See, God created a storm. So he's out there on the boat, and the guy's there. You know, he went down there to his cabin, and he's sleeping away. And so I hear this big storm's coming, and the ship's getting swamped, you know, and they're tossing stuff overboard to make sure they don't sink. And so finally they're, like, trying to figure out, well, whose God did all this? Jonah's like, my God did. Just throw me over the side here, and everything's going to be fine. And the guys are like, we're not going to do that. Jonah's like, well, you need to do that. And so they didn't. Things kept getting worse until finally they're like, all right, fine, we're going to toss you over. And guess what? Calm seas. And Jonah got swallowed by a great fish. Well, think about it. God at this point here has Jonah's complete attention, does he not? He's inside the fish, being slowly digested. That's what's going on. And so Jonah finally gets it, because he's got this lots of time on his hands for a little personal reflection. And what's he reflecting on here? His disobedience to God's instructions. Well, you know, every Sunday we spend a little time reflecting on our sins, do we not? It's our time of confession. We have that at the beginning of every service. Now, if you were in the belly of a great fish being slowly digested while you're still alive, do you think that you might be more apt to repent of your sins? Think about that. I would dare say that you probably would. And so, you might think about that the next time that you confess your sins. You're going to repent of those sins. I think you would certainly be a little bit more appreciative of that next opportunity to confess your sins, having thought on what Jonah went through. You see, that's exactly what Jonah did. He confessed his sins. He confessed all of it. And he put it this way. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you in your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with a voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Well, God heard Jonah's confession, knew that he was sincere about it, so he had that fish vomit Jonah back up on the beach. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Arise, go to Nineveh. Well, Jonah, knowing that this is the worst place in the world to go, didn't want to go, but yet this time he did go. And so he went and he preached, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Those few words, simple words, really. That was the message that God had Jonah share with the people of Nineveh. God gives pastors simple messages as well. Just like the one Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent. That's what Jonah did. Jonah needed to repent, for he had sinned against the Lord by disobeying his word. He confessed his sin, he repented, changed his ways, and God forgave him. God gave him a second chance. Now, some people think, wow, Jonah must have been a good preacher there. Why? Because the people of Nineveh, from the greatest to the least, repented of their sins. God saw that it was genuine, that they weren't putting on airs. It was real repentance. And what did God do? He relented from his anger. He relented from what he planned to do, destroying the people of Nineveh. Now, some people may think, well, that was all about Jonah and what he did. It was not. It was God and his word. God says in Isaiah, so shall my word that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but will accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. God's word is powerful and effective. God causes repentance. God causes people to change their ways and turn to him and ask for forgiveness, and it is God who forgives. Think about this. God is the one who forgave the people who made pictures of piles of heads. God forgave the people of their wickedness. For the God of heaven and earth is God over all. And the God over all made it possible for all to be forgiven. That's what it means for Jesus, who went to the cross. And what did he do? He took the sins of all upon himself. He became the sacrifice for all. Jesus died. He earned forgiveness of sins for all. But that forgiveness is only given to those who believe. You see, that's how important forgiveness is in light of Jesus and having faith in Jesus. You see, we who have faith need to remember when in those moments of confession, truly ask for the Lord's help to repent of those sins, to put those sinful actions behind you. Take hold of that forgiveness that is offered, and like Jonah, serve the Lord. Think about it this way. You were given a second chance in your baptism. So go then and serve. Go then and share God's word with others. For it's not about how effective you are in sharing that word. It's all about what God does with that word that you share. You see, this God is the one who creates faith in others. He's the one who causes people to repent. They realize when they sit there and look at their actions there that they have sinned and need to turn back to the Lord. Just like children turn back to their parents and ask for forgiveness, so we as children of God turn to our Heavenly Father and ask for that forgiveness. And He is so willing to forgive, wanting to forgive. You see, God's Word is the active agent in all of this. God's Word can cause the worst offender to change, just like the people of Nineveh. And it's not the speaker changing anyone. It's God wanting people to turn to Him. And how liberating that is when we realize that it's not our responsibility to convert others. It's all about God and what He does. You see, that's something that we need to remember as God's servants. We need to listen and do what He wants us to do, to follow through, to follow Him. And then God does the rest. You see, as God chose to use you, He wants to use you and have you share His word. It's such a powerful word. For His word is powerful and effective. Because there's a whole world out there that God wants. He wants to give them a second chance. You see, that's something that you know about. Certainly Jonah learned about that. That we've already had our second chance. We've been forgiven. And so as we've been forgiven, we can go then and serve with a joyful heart. Why? Because that's what the Lord wants. He wants us to be a part of His kingdom. He wants all to be a part of His kingdom. So go, therefore, you who have received that second chance, go, therefore, and serve the Lord through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.